going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
If you're on your way to Yankee Stadium, you got a beautiful night for Yankees Blue Jays. And for the first time this season, someone new is going to try to protect Aaron Judge in the batting order. More on that as the hour goes on, including Abdul Carter asking potentially for a retired number. But right now, just a few minutes after 5 o'clock, it is Cinco time.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything, everywhere, by Mercedes-Benz of Morristown. Visit us online at 888thebenz.com. And by New Jersey Lottery, anything can happen in Jersey. A newish era of Giants football is now upon us, so without further ado, the five likeliest Jackson Dart career outcomes. Here we go.
Here we go!
Number five.
The Giants stink this year. This regime is fired. They draft a new quarterback in round one next year anyway, and Jackson Dart is dealt for a fifth-round pick.
That would be disaster.
It is a scenario where the team is terrible. They don't form this identity that you guys talked about to start the show. You could rewind on the Odyssey app while I was in detention. And Jackson Dart never actually even plays. So we could get a scenario where it's not that Dart's a failure. It's that, yeah, the team stinks. And so Shane and Daboll are gone. And then a new administration inherits somebody that hasn't done anything wrong yet in Jackson Dart.
Yeah, well, let's see. Here we go.
Number four.
The Giants over the next 4 years can't figure out how to keep Andrew Thomas healthy and can't figure out their offensive line. They decide they're going to hire a new GM and coach. That regime declines Jackson Dart's fifth-year option. They then make the playoffs with him in that fifth year and sign him to a four-year deal that ends up being a mistake.
Well, to your point, when they drafted Daniel Jones, coach was only here for 1 year before he got replaced.
Study history, otherwise it repeats itself.
Yep. All right, here we go.
Number three.
The number three likeliest Jackson Dart career outcome. He wins a Super Bowl in the next 4 years, but it is so defensive-driven that we now debate how good actually is Jackson Dart.
That's a great problem to
cares?
Have.
That will be a who cares debate, and I can't wait to have it.
I can't wait either. Here we go.
Number two.
Jackson Dart has a very good career, but it's remembered for one big game, his best game of his career. An NFC Championship epic where he outduels Joe Milton and the Cowboys, leading the Giants to a Super Bowl.
Nice. Wow. What happens in the Super Bowl?
They win, I think.
Perfect.
They win.
Then he'll be legendary.
I didn't finish that thought. Then he'll be legendary. Oh, you know what? They must win based on number one. Here we go.
Number one.
The number one most likely outcome of Jackson Dart's Giant career. He becomes the first three-time Super Bowl champion quarterback in New York Giants history. Number gets retired only to be unretired 80 years later. And we will remember last night forever Thank you, Jackson Dart.
Nice.
That's your
Cinco. Wow, that is the most positive Cinco I've heard in a while.
So he's a Giant fan. Like, what do you expect?
Well, 5-4, we're not positive.
That's true.
I'm a Jet fan, and my likeliest outcomes, even with the quarterback I want, like Shedeur Sanders, is doom and gloom. Because that's all I've seen with these young quarterbacks.
Yeah, but Sean's seen championships, so why would he expect anything less from something new and fresh?
Well, I'll tell you what's different. What's different maybe in his mentality, your mentality, and certainly my mentality. Drafting a young quarterback, whether it's like this, late in the first round where you trade back in, wherever you draft a young quarterback, that is something I go through, like cycle, every 3 years, right? It's very common. Zach Wilson, rinse and repeat. Sam Darnold, rinse and repeat. Right. Geno Smith, rinse and repeat. Mark Sanchez, like I've done it like on cue every 3 to 4 years. This happens to me. And sometimes they have like a little bit of success, like Mark Sanchez did, and then it all ends badly.
Right.
Giant fans, in this generation of Giant football, and I'd say a generation goes back 25 years, you guys never had to do it.
Right.
You did it with Daniel Jones.
Not really. Daniel Jones was here for 6 years. That's a good amount of time.
You know what? You're kind of right.
Right. Like, Eli was 2 decades, basically.
Right. Eli was 2 decades, so forget it.
No. And we wanted to do it during the Daniel Jones era.
Right. Yeah, Jones, I think, does fit, to be fair, kind of my cycle of, all right, we think we have something. There's some good moments, but ultimately, he's not the guy. So you guys are less familiar with the failures and the cycle of maybe we got something with this kid. And then you don't. So maybe that leads you to be more wide-eyed than someone like me who just expects it to go badly.
I also think I'm approaching this from this standpoint. I saw enough Jackson Dart and Ole Miss. I know what I don't like about him. I know I'm not a football coach. I am going to have how many Sundays with the potential to hate this draft pick and be screaming and yelling about it after the game? Why on earth would I take that approach the day after the draft when I know I have plenty of time potentially be negative? Why do I want to be negative today?
But you preferred Shedeur Sanders, correct?
I absolutely did. Absolutely did. And I prefer that I am wrong like I have been a million times on these quarterbacks.
Of course. No, that look, we have no choice as sports fans. We give our opinions. We don't get what we want. We can complain about it. And then, of course, we hope we're wrong because you'd rather be happy as a sports fan and wrong about your opinion than right about your sports opinion, but miserable with your team.
But the challenge right now is that the Giant fan has to trust Dabes and Shane. Because they haven't done this yet, right? They haven't drafted a quarterback. In fact, the only quarterback they brought in is Tommy DeVito, and he was a free agent. And so you have to extrapolate what we thought from last year with the whole Jaden Daniels thing, and then now trust that they did a thorough, deep investigation on all these quarterbacks. By the way, we know they did because they basically had rented a month or 2 month long Airbnb out in Colorado. So we know they did their due diligence on Shedeur. We know they did it on Jalen Milroe because of the Alabama connection that people talk about. And you know they did it on Jackson Dart because they ultimately drafted the kid. So you just have to trust them at this point. And we can have our opinions. You can scream like Gio did. Or you can be overly positive like some other Giant fans are. But we just have to trust them right now, period.
And even if he wasn't their first choice, life's not about getting your first choice. Mm-hmm. Like,
it's about
that
the
doesn't.
It's about the pivot.
Like, yes, was Matthew Stafford their first choice? Sure, they tried to sign him and trade for him. Mm-hmm. Was Cam Ward their first choice? There were plenty of reports yesterday. They tried to trade up, even a last-ditch effort. Absolutely.
Right. We got a note from Paul Short saying that they were still trying to get up to number one, and then they got rebuffed.
But they tried. So is Jackson Dart there? One thing we know about Jackson Dart, he may be their third choice, but they prefer him over Shedeur Sanders. Because if they wanted Shedeur Sanders, they obviously could have had him multiple times. But there's nothing wrong with being someone's second or third choice. Because most times in sports and most times in life, that's the way it is. Like, the Yankees are a great example of this. They may win the World Series this year. I don't know. Their first choice wasn't Cody Bellinger and Max Fried and Paul Goldschmidt. Their first choice was Juan Soto.
Right.
Doesn't mean that the pivot doesn't work, as you certainly have. Just showing a lot of experience with. Because you wanted Soto, you didn't get him. Okay, here's my second choice.
And I think the pivot works even better. And I didn't know how I was going to feel about this because for a long time I was team, if you believe in a guy, make sure you pick him and don't worry about where you take him. But seeing how it turned out, the fact that they believed in him and got him and read the rest of the teams right and did this at 25 and still got maybe the best player in the draft in Abdul Carter, I do think it changes the feel of the whole damn thing.
No, I think you're right. Because of the Abdul Carter selection, it's hard not to feel very positive about the first round.
We have two avenues, Giants fans, that we enter next year excited about. The first avenue is, oh my God, they might have a really, really good defense, mm-hmm. and we don't have to get the idea that they don't have talent right. thrown in their face.
An identity.
And then the second path is, offensively, at some point, we're probably going to see a rookie quarterback, and that just opens up that brand new avenue of right. hope. There's two roads here for Giants.
I mean, you know this. Evan, you know it probably better than all of us because of what you were just alluding to.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Seeing a rookie quarterback is exciting.
Yes.
It is.
Because you just...
Hope.
It's hope and unknown. And it's not, well, I know this guy sucks, right? Yep. It's hard when you bring in a veteran because in some capacity you're saying, well, this guy sucks. Or this guy's washed. Or this guy's old. Or whatever. As a rookie, you don't know. So there is nothing but positivity that kind of... that those first couple of times that he starts playing, yep. you're excited about it, even if... you're not fully believing that he's going to be great.
And there's one more group of people, Evan, I'm annoyed at. I'll just briefly leave you with this. You Pro Football Hall of Fame voters, you could have had Eli Manning, Tom Coughlin, and Tiki Barber in a class this year and had Giant fans flood Canton, Ohio, and got actually people to care about that dopey Hall of Fame game where Jackson Dart, the quarterback out of Ole Miss, could have had the passing of the torch from Eli right there, and you would have had eyeballs and a ton of New Yorkers there. You missed the boat.
I am very curious about your guys' opinion on this.
They don't like Giants, clearly.
Nope. Clearly not. They're anti-Giants, anti-New York. Abdul Carter said this last night with Bleacher Report in terms of his number. And I want you to take a listen to this and tell me if you find this cute and funny or if there's any part of you that's offended. Here's Abdul Carter last night talking about what number he may wear now that he's a member of the New York Football Giants.
You're going to get that 11, right? I don't know, bro. I got a different number in mind.
Oh, what wow. number? I'm heartbroken already. I told the people he's going to get that. I said we better have the best swap in the history of football. What number are you thinking, bro?
I don't know. 56 sound real good, but we got to have a conversation.
Wow. Now,
it's just laughable.
Number 11 is already retired for the great Phil Simms.
Of course.
The other number he happened to mention, 56, is not just retired, but it is worn by, in my humble opinion, the greatest New York football giant of them all, the great Lawrence Taylor.
No doubt.
And you've got a guy, whether he's joking or not, you tell me, you're the giant guy, you're a giant legend yourself, Tiki. Are you not at least a little like, are you serious, dude, that he even said that?
I am tickled by it.
What do you mean tickled? What does that mean?
Tickled. Like, I know you're not serious because why would you be serious about something like that? First of all, Lawrence Taylor would kick your ass if you took his number. Secondly, you got to prove it before you can wear that number ever. Even think about wearing that number. We think you're going to be good. We don't know that you're going to be great like Lawrence Taylor, who was great from jump, by the way. Let's not forget that. Lawrence Taylor wasn't, we figured it out a couple years in. Lawrence Taylor was great from the first practice and training camp, period. Be that, maybe we'll have a little of a conversation. That, other than that, I'm just tickled.
So you're saying, I'm curious now, Teague. Are you tickled because it's almost like a warning shot at this kid?
No,
like,
I know I'm you're tickled kidding. Like you're not serious because you got to prove it to be serious.
But is he serious?
I don't think so.
Sean, did you take that as serious?
I think I did only because, only because I know it's a very different reason and families involved. The Giants opened up this can of worms last year with Malik Nabers.
True.
They opened up this can of worms with Ray Flaherty's number being retired. And I know his family gave the blessing, but it took John Mara going to the family and giving this. And by the way, it led to renewed discussion, learning about Ray Flaherty. I think there was a lot of positives with that. But when you do that, now the next year, you're taking a guy picked even higher than Malik Nabers who wants to emulate Lawrence Taylor. It is very hard to put the toothpaste back in the tube when you did this last year. So I think there's an element where he's serious, and I got to be honest with you. Do it. I think he's going to be that great.
First of
do
all,
it. Make 56 like that iconic pass rush number with the Giants now.
First of all, LT is never going to give that permission.
That's a different story.
It's not happening.
He may not, but if he did, I'm all for it.
You're insane, bro.
But you already did it. How insulting is that to Ray Flaherty? You did it already.
First of all, the Ray Flaherty thing was very different. I didn't love it at the time, but I also understood it. Like, it brought attention to a guy that most Giant fans didn't know about. It was a long, long time ago. But I agree, I didn't really love the precedent of it, precedent of it. But we talk about the pressures of being third overall. Lawrence Taylor, to many who saw him, is the greatest, most impactful defensive player to ever lace him up. Mm-hmm. You think Micah Parsons is good? Yeah, he's good. He can't wipe the tuchus of Lawrence Taylor. So to put that kind of pressure, it's not fair to anybody.
Yeah,
but he wants that pressure.
Well, I mean, Ray Flaherty, let's be clear. He only played for the New York Giants. First, he was the New York Yankees, right? New York Yanks, which ultimately left and became the Cowboys, but he stayed in New York, and he had five numbers in his career. One was just the last one, and so
it's less impactful. Is your point
exactly?
And I agree with you.
It's not like he was known as number one, because he could have been known as number 20, or he could have been known as number 11. Or 17, or 6. Those are all the numbers that Ray Flaherty wore.
It's a different situation. But you know what else? I don't know if you guys remember this. So a couple of years ago, before Ohtani got the free agency, the Mets are doing a broadcast, and Gary Cohen flippantly asks Keith Hernandez, hey, Keith, would you give up 17? Which they just retired for Keith, which was a big honor for him. Would you give it up for Shohei Ohtani? It was some of the most uncomfortable TV ever, because Keith Hernandez, you could all hear without him saying how he felt, which is, are you freaking kidding me? Are you real? Are you serious? Like, I'm going to give up my number that they just retired, but he didn't want to be a jerk. So he didn't say it, but it was like, he was pissed. Right. And Phil Simms, because let's bring him into the discussion. I heard Boomer and Gio talking about this a couple days ago because of the fact that Abdul Carter wore 11. Like, would Phil give up the number? Phil may handle it like Keith, which is like, I'm not going to say what I really think, but are you bleeping kidding me? I'm not giving up my retired number for a kid who's done nothing in this league. Yeah, I don't care how hyped up he is. And so even putting Phil Simms or Lawrence Taylor in a position to have to say anything publicly is asinine. And I'll tell you this, when Joe Namath, and Joe did it right here on this station, did it with Sal, BT, or was it with you? It may have been with you and BT. I forget the timing. It was with you.
Right.
You and BT. When he said, oh, I'll give up 12 for Rodgers, I was pissed at that too. I was like, bro, I know you're trying to be nice. I respect it. Are you kidding me? And can you imagine an alternate universe, Teak, where Rodgers said, sure, I'll take 12 after that debacle?
Yeah. No, it wouldn't have happened. It would have been completely different and I don't know, just perceived differently. But I'm looking at Ray Flaherty, just to go back on this, because I'm now in a rabbit hole with Ray Flaherty. You know, he's a Hall of Famer, but he's a Hall of Famer as a coach, because he won two championships, both with Washington. He coached with the New York Giants for three seasons after having, whatever, a 7-8-year season with the New York Giants, where he moved multiple numbers, but he's a Hall of Famer and immortalized as a coach, most of which was not with New York.
Right.
And so I know what we're saying. Ray Flaherty is not congruent with Lawrence Taylor. It's just not the same.
Well, okay.
And I'm not disparaging him. I'm just saying. It's just different than Lawrence Taylor, who is the greatest defensive end ever to play.
What kind of fan are you,
he's
showing?
He's the greatest New York Giant, most impactful New York Giant that we've ever seen.
Yes. First of all, I think the failure potential of Abdul Carter's not there. And I'm just saying, if he wants
it's Lawrence Taylor.
You also have to realize something, Evan. Lawrence Taylor retired in 93, okay? There are Giant fans. Now, we all know we're engraved in it, right? I didn't see the bulk of Lawrence Taylor at all, any of my problem. Think about, you're talking about two generations of Giant fans that maybe by unretiring 56, we get that rejuvenated, LT,
but
really?
But there's my generation and the year after who saw all of LT.
Oh, they'll hate it. No doubt about it. But they also hated the Yankees growing
the generation
beards.
Before me, so, by the way. Right.
This is the Yankee beard policy.
No, it's not. No.
Those people that hated the beards are going to hate the unretiring. The young generation will like this.
There's no reason to do it. And besides putting unneeded pressure, first of all, you can't talk about Abdul Carter like he's unbustable. Every person is bustable.
Well, no, but
everybody is.
Injuries, whatever. Anything can happen.
Remember this, though, Evan. I think there's a pretty cool tradition that Dallas Cowboys have. And that is everyone, every time they get a receiver they think is going to be their big-time receiver, they pass on the number 88. Michael Irvin's 88 isn't hanging there. They pass it to Dez Bryant, they pass it to CeeDee Lamb. What if, by Abdul Carter being the one that actually encourages taking on this pressure, 56 becomes the dominant giant pass rush number like the Cowboys?
It becomes a tribute.
Yeah, oh, it's a tribute.
Why did LeBron wear 23? Because he wanted
Jordan,
to.
Right.
That's crazy. You are going to be the next Jordan, and you wanted to wear 23. Right. And LeBron, arguably, I don't want to get in this argument with Tiki, is better than Michael Jordan. So
he's
I
different.
Think it's.
Yeah. He's just different.
I think it's symbolic. I think he's looking at it. Remember, he tweeted out the photo of LT after the meeting with the Giants. I think Abdul Carter sees it as a symbol. Lawrence Taylor is the symbol of the Giants defense. I want to be like LT and
Lawrence.
Bring,
when Lawrence Taylor publicly says, I'm ashamed that anyone would even suggest this, and I'm offended by you bringing it up, will both you, Tommy, and you, Sean, apologize
well,
to him? Abdul or will
Carter
you fight
brought
with
it up. Abdul Carter brought it
no,
up.
No, but you
I'm
guys are on the radio
Lawrence
saying
Taylor.
Fight with Lawrence Taylor won't survive.
No,
I'm going to put my tail between the legs and pretend I didn't say it.
No, I didn't say the Giants should do it. What I'm saying is that I think Abdul Carter, what he's saying is that 56 is symbolic, not that he wants the number in reality. That 56, what it means.
Okay.
Did the Cowboys not have any retired numbers?
That I don't know. I just know the 88 tradition. And one more note, and I'm sorry, because he's not going to say it. If Mason Crosby at 41 years old with half a foot left can take Tiki Barber's 21, Abdul Carter could wear Lawrence Taylor's 56.
They hand out that 21 like it's nothing. Didn't they give it to someone else already, the 21?
Enough.
Yes.
Stay
Jeez.
Tuned for Baseball Night in New York, presented by Tri-State Cadillac, coming up on next on SNY. It was an early TV day today because the Mets are playing at 45 down in Washington, D.C. So it's a little bit of an early start time for the Mets and the Nationals, opening up their three-game series, and the Yankees opening up. The Mets are opening up a four-game series. I should correct myself, because they actually have a wraparound on Monday afternoon, and the Yankees opening up their three-game series against the Toronto Blue Jays. Let us go to John, who's calling from Greenlawn. How are you today on this fine Friday, John?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Good, man. What's up?
So I wanted to call it. Evan, you're talking a lot about, you know, just Bears and Jets fan. We got a lot to be excited about, man. This front office is making smart picks, and I just wanted to call to dunk on Sean and respect to Tiki, but I'm dunking on all these Giants fans, man. They just drafted the next Zach Wilson, man, and respectfully, like...
No,
Abdul Carter.
No. Zach Wilson was number two overall pick, and he was anointed the starter without ever having to earn it.
That is a big difference, John. That is a big difference.
I don't disagree, but they gave up a lot of assets to move back into the first round, and while they might have done their due diligence,
they gave a lot of assets. They gave up their second round pick and two third rounders. They gave up nothing. One of the third rounders was compensatory. Like, what are we talking about?
You're going to do that for a guy like Jackson Dart? They could have got him in the second round.
No, but you want the fifth-year option. That's why you go back into the first round, because it is a guy like Jackson Dart. You want the extra year, John.
Right.
John, here's the big difference.
It gives you optionality.
Absolutely, and thank you for the call, man. I know that those other things that you guys bring up, like trading into the first round gives you the fifth-year option. He doesn't come in here with as much pressure because he's not, you know, top five picked. He's
right.
Later in the first round. The biggest difference, and I think this is huge, and I've been screaming this my entire adult life as a football fan, but the biggest difference and advantage that Jackson Dart has over Zach Wilson is what you said, Teak. He's not playing right away.
Yeah. Not expected to, not going to be forced to. Even when he does start to figure it out and he's going to have to earn it. You know what I mean? And so
Zach earned nothing.
He earned nothing. He was given the starting job 2 years in a row, and it's the worst thing they ever could have done for him. There was no veteran competition. There was no young competition.
I hated it.
It was just given to him.
And so what will Jackson Dart be? I have no idea. The Zach Wilson comparisons don't feel fair because it's really just based on the fact that they're from Utah.
Yes.
And outside of Steve Young, like, are there any good quarterbacks that came from the state of Utah?
Yeah.
I don't really know.
Did Jackson Dart's uncle own JetBlue?
No, it's the British Airlines, though. No, I'm just kidding. I made that up. I don't know what Jackson Dart's going to be. All right? That's the first thing I said to you guys. I like Shedeur Sanders. I don't know about Jackson Dart. But to me, letting a kid learn and not have the pressure of playing right away and not playing him until you feel he's ready is a huge advantage when developing a young quarterback.
100% agree. It is the difference.
It is, and it pissed me off when the Jets didn't do it for years. They didn't do it with Zach. They didn't do it with Sam. They didn't do it with Sanchez. They either gave them fake competitions or they just gave him the job.
Right. Did they do it with Geno? I don't remember Geno.
Geno Smith played it right away, too.
Yeah.
Because Mark Sanchez got hurt, remember?
Right. So that's right.
There was a competition, which we don't know how that would have played out, but Rex Ryan reinserted him into the Snoopy Bowl game, a game I was at. I was on an awkward date that night. And Mark Sanchez got hurt, and so Geno became the quarterback. So to answer your question, like, I don't know what would have happened. I always had the idea that Rex preferred Mark Sanchez, but I don't know. But he played right away. So they all played right away. And I don't think it helps you, which is why if the Jets do draft a quarterback tonight, which I would be in favor of, that kid's not playing right away. Because I would even say Justin Fields is the starter. Great, right. Shador. Great, Jalen Milroe.
Well, I mean, they basically have.
But... They have, but they also haven't drafted a young quarterback, you know? If they did, does that change anything? But think what Dave said last night. Dave's already said it. Russell Wilson's the starting quarterback. And so I do think that's the big difference. I do appreciate, though, that guy, John, saying, hey, let's dunk on Giant fans.
Yeah, he tried.
Because as Jet fans, we want to do it. But you know what we'll wait for? Wait for them to suck. Okay? and then we can do it.
All right.
But on draft day, I don't know if we really can.
No.
We'll get to the baseball coming up, including new protection for Aaron Judge. And more of your calls on this draft. And, of course, the Nick Victory, 888-808-1019. Evan and Tiki here on The Fan. Here we are on a beautiful Friday in New York City. It's a perfect night to go watch the New York Yankees take on the Toronto Blue Jays. They're opening up their three-game series tonight. What are they giving away tonight? They're giving away a hockey jersey tonight?
Yeah, it's hockey jersey night. They had to get it in because there's only two Devil games left, so they made sure they're giving it away tonight.
Which player is attached to the hockey jersey? Because I know...
I believe none.
Oh, really? Because next week on Friday, May 2nd, so a week from today, is Jazz Chisholm basketball jersey night, which looks exactly like a Knicks jersey. Like, I thought last year the Mets basketball-themed jersey was very similar to the old ABA Nets. The Yankee jersey that's related to basketball that they're giving away next week looks, identical to a Knicks jersey.
It's got the shadowy New York thing. Yep. Like that. Yeah, so I'm actually watching Brian Hoke's Twitter. He's got Oswaldo Cabrera warming up in the hockey jersey. No player on the back.
Really? Why'd they go no player with that?
I don't know. Maybe give you a chance to go bring it to your local sports store and have a number printed on it. Why not?
So the Mets...
That makes sense. Yeah, like if you want to put your own name, whatever. You can do whatever. It's clear.
No, I mean, it's fine.
It's a hockey jersey. It's not like it's a baseball jersey.
I know, but they're doing the basketball next week. I know the Mets are doing a hockey jersey in a few weeks, so this is very common around baseball. And the Mets did attach a player to the hockey jersey. Do you know which player they attached to the hockey jersey?
Is it Nimmo?
No.
It is not Brandon Nimmo. Tiki, you want to guess?
I'm going to say it is Edwin Diaz.
Edwin Diaz. It is not Edwin Diaz. Close your eyes. Mm-hmm. Think of every Met player and say, who would like hockey? Because that's how I think they determined it.
Is it Jeff McNeil?
It is not Jeff McNeil.
Who would like hockey? Let me have another guess. I'm guessing who would like hockey. I got to look through the lineup right now.
Yeah. Who would like hockey?
None of the black dudes.
None of the Dominicans. You can't say that. You think so?
I'm a black guy. I can say it.
So no black guys like hockey now? Come on.
Okay, then, since you're giving me a hint, I'm going to say that it is Starling Marte.
It's not Starling Marte. All right, fine. It's a white guy. You got me, right?
Of course it is.
Oh, I think I know.
Who? Reed?
Clay Holmes.
The answer is Clay Holmes. Yeah, Clay Holmes is the black guy.
Solid.
So the Mets attached Clay Holmes to their hockey jersey.
Honestly,
but tonight's...
that makes perfect sense now that I think about it.
It does. The Yankees have not attached anyone to their hockey jersey. But if you're waiting online right now, because remember, it's the first 18,000 fans. So you know what we should do? Next Friday for Jazz Chisholm basketball jersey night, I think you should go out there, Sean.
All right,
are you free next Friday night?
I'm pretty sure I am. I'll take a little trot out there.
And you'd want that jersey, right?
Yeah, I have the Ben Rice one they gave away last year. I'd love to get them back-to-back years.
Did they? They didn't attach one to Ben. Oh, they did Juan Soto. That's why you said that.
They gave away 22 with no name. It's a Ben Rice.
I think it does have the name on it, though. No, it doesn't.
I own it.
When they gave out the basketball jersey last year for Juan Soto, it just says 22?
It just says 22.
Are you sure about that?
I have one, Evan. I'm very sure about it. I rode my bike in it this week.
All right. Well, speaking of Ben Rice has been given a big chore today because the Yankee lineup did come out. And there is a new leadoff hitter. It is not Paul Goldschmidt. It has not been Rice. The leadoff hitter will be Trent Grisham for just the second time this season. And with the year he's had, it makes sense. But Ben Rice is going to protect Aaron Judge.
Oh, finally.
And looking like at that. My protection chart that I'm keeping for Aaron Judge, because I have my own protection chart, Deke.
Yes.
This is the first time he's doing it. It's mostly been Cody Bellinger over the last couple of weeks. Early in the season, it was Jazz Chisholm. There's an Austin Wells mixed in there. But this is the first time Ben Rice is going to be given that kind of challenging of protecting Judge.
Has Goldie done it how many times? Like three or four?
Zero.
I thought Goldie was
better.
No. Goldie's been cleanup, but he's never been right behind Judge.
Correct. And I think a part of why it hasn't been Goldie, because he's a good candidate for it considering the year he's had, is that they don't want to stack the righties against each other. Yeah. The Yankees are so left-handed heavy.
Makes sense.
That they want to go lefty-righty. They do have a few lefties back-to-back in this lineup tonight with Bellinger followed by Chisholm. But clearly, the protection for Aaron Judge hasn't been great. All you got to do is look at the numbers. I'll give it to you if you care.
Yeah.
.212 batting average on the guys who are batting behind Aaron Judge.
Right.
And so since Ben Rice has had a wonderful season, why not? Why not throw him into the mix now and say, why don't you go protect Aaron
Judge? Which is so shocking that you look at Aaron Judge, and he's walked a bunch of times this year. Not as much as some, but I mean, I think it's 15 or so, 16. And only two of them have been intentional.
Right.
And
stunned by that, by the way.
I'm shocked by that because nobody's hit behind him, especially Bellinger.
It doesn't make sense to me. And I think as the season goes on, if there continues to be a lack of protection and Judge is having a historic season, I would assume managers will finally say, we're not going to face you.
Yeah.
Like if I'm the Blue Jays this weekend, I wouldn't face him. He's that good of a player. Let's get to some of your calls. Sean is calling from Bayshore. Good afternoon or good early evening to you, Sean.
Sean, what's happening?
What's up, boys? How we doing?
We are good.
Good.
Sean, don't get offended on the other side of the glass over there.
I'm calm.
talking to the old Sean and Bayshore.
I think you guys need to get together for a beer so you can, like, sort this out.
Sean, actually,
man, I'm around, man. Anytime you want.
Sean, what I have heard, and this is coming from the other Sean, is he is accusing you of not really being a Sean and that you're mocking Morash by taking his name and where he's from and making up an alias. So can you confirm or deny that accusation?
Yeah, I've heard all this nonsense go on after my calls. my name is Sean. It's spelled S-E-A-N. I don't live in Bayshore anymore, but I did reside there when I was called.
Ah, nice.
Fair enough.
Traitor. Anyways, go ahead.
Yeah, quick thought on Carter wanting LT's number. Agree he should earn it. Not entitled to that. And if I'm not mistaken, LT's rookie season, he had 9.5 sacks, a fumble, and a pick.
Yes.
So it probably won't happen, but I think it would be cool if LT came out and said, listen, you can't have the number this year, but you give me 10 sacks and 3 turnovers, you can have it next year.
Dude, that would be amazing. That's a great idea.
Actually, and then maybe like, it's basically a rental. Like he has to hit the numbers every subsequent season to keep it.
That is awesome. That is a phenomenal. I have LT's number. I'm going to reach out to him. I know what he's going to say. Teek, are you bleeping kidding me? Get the bleep out of here. Are you kidding? Blah, 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 blah. LT's the best.
LT was in the news over the last day and a half because a video resurfaced. I guess this was from a few years ago, but it resurfaces sometimes on social media of LT being asked, hey, what do you remember from the NFL draft where you were drafted?
Yeah.
And he said, I don't remember anything. I had 41 Coors Lights that night.
Wow.
And the person's like, you remember though, 41? He's like, yeah, 41 Coors Lights
wow.
that night. Which.
What is Coors Light? Is that 3.2? What is it?
The percent?
4, yeah.
I'm guessing it's a 4 or 5, but I'll look.
Yeah.
That's
a lot.
Of course it's a lot. That's like the stuff I heard about Andre the Giant back in the day.
4.2.
Like 4.2.
Well, who was it? Who was what baseball player on a plane? I remember this. Wade Boggs. Because he had like a case?
Yeah, but the legend has been that he kind of, fudged the numbers.
Do you think LT is fudging the numbers? Do you think he really had 41
no.
Coors Lights the night he was
no.
drafted?
LT used to do cocaine and play football, dude.
I mean,
888-808-1019.
No, but I think it's
and get like 2 sacks and, yeah. and crush, you know,
no, and be better than anybody.
Exactly.
You should reach out to him and let us know. A, would he give up the number? Obviously, he's going to say no, and he's going to say something hilarious. Right. And then, would you do a lease program where you almost challenge the kid and say, "Hey,
I like Sean's idea. Hey, you can't have it this year. You get it next year. You get 10 sacks, a three forced fumbles and whatever, some other metric, and then you can have it. But then you got to do it every year.
The only way, see, it's tough because, like, I think LT loves the Giants. I think Keith Hernandez loves the Mets. I think if Tom Seaver was still around, he loves the Mets too. But I think they love themselves more. And so, and I don't mean that in a negative way. Like, I'll ask you, Teak, if they retired your number, right? It's up there in the rafters and it's up there for like 15 years, right? It's been a long time. You're used to it. Like, yeah, I got a retired number. And they draft a running back. Would you say to that guy, you know what? Screw it. Rip the number down from the rafters. Go get me 1,700 yards on the ground, and then you can wear it. Or would you say, no, I want my freaking legacy
That's
up there.
That's hard to attain. So I would say, give me 1,500 yards and 10 touchdowns, and it's yours. And you can keep it for your career.
Wow, for your career?
I just rented it. You can give it back
at
the end of your tenure.
Okay.
And if you best my record, it's all yours.
You're a classy guy. Ask LT if he would do the same. 888-808-1019.